Psalm 12, the message this evening I entitled Faithful or Fickle? Fickle, spelled the same way as pickle, with an F, I think. Anybody know how that's spelled? Okay. All right. Psalm 12, notice if you will, he says, Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Well, what do they do? Verse 2, they speak vanity. Every one with his neighbor with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Isn't that America today? Really the world, I should say. The Lord, verse 3, shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Now, if you do some research, there's some people in Scripture that said that very thing. Who is the Lord that I should follow him? Who is the Lord that I should listen to him? Who is the Lord, right? Well, they found out really quick who the Lord was, didn't they? Real quick. And by the way, we believe the Lord is coming back very soon, and they are going to find out very, very quickly who the Lord is. Amen? Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Now, tonight, we'll start out there in Psalm 12. We see that there is an urgency, a call that has gone out for the faithful. But notice what he says here. Oh, David writes, and he says, Help, Lord. Now notice as he says, help. Now you and I have said help to the Lord in many different situations. Some of you folks that have lived for some time, you've been in some real sticky situations. And all you could say in that moment was help, Lord. I watched a testimony of a fella. It was a failed suicide attempt. And he had got on the top of a bridge. And he had decided that everything was falling apart. He had nothing else to live for. And he's giving this testimony. And he was up on a bridge, obviously, and he said he closed his eyes and he said, I'm going to do it. He said he was very hesitant to do it. It was very difficult to do it, but he said, I've got to do it. He closed his eyes and he let go and he fell forward. And as he was falling, he said it was like slow motion. You ever been in a tragic situation? Everything just slows down. He said in that moment, he said, I made the biggest mistake in my life. And he said, I knew it. He said, I should not have done this. Why did I do this? And he said immediately, he wasn't a believing man. He said what? Help, Lord God, save me. Help, Lord God, save me. Now, he hit the ground and he was messed up, but he didn't die. They came and picked him up and a lot of recovery time, but he lived to tell that testimony. And I thought about that. There's a lot of people out there calling for help from God, but they don't really know who God is, do they? They're calling out for help. Now, David knew who God was and he said, help, why? Not for my finances. Help not for me to gain. Help not for me to be promoted. Help what? Because a godly man ceaseth. The faithful fail. That ought to be a prayer for ours. We look around our landscape, and it's very easy to get very discouraged. But the apostasy of today, we studied the apostasy that we read about in the pastoral epistles, that we see there is a falling away, a willful falling away from the things of God. And we look around and we can get very discouraged. Very discouraged. By the way, hopefully we'll get to the study of the dispensations. But if you follow the dispensations, at the end of every dispensation, it ends in apostasy. Now, what are we approaching very soon? Another apostasy. We're living in that right now. The church at Laodicea, the last church, was a church what? An apostasy. We see it. They were lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. It's just an apathy towards things. But we find here the apathy of not only the outside world towards the things of God, but the spiritual people towards the things of God. Now, we live in a day of unfaithfulness. Husbands and wives are unfaithful to each other. Parents are unfaithful to their children. Children are unfaithful to the parents. Employers and employees and vice versa. We know that all across the board. Now, we see, and I saw this recently, how many have ever heard the term, you ride for the brand? You heard that? You ride for the brand. A couple of you have. In the old Western days, you know that, the ranch hand or the rancher would hire ranch hands, cowboys, and they'd come in and they'd go out for weeks at a time to gather all the cattle. And he would say, now, boys, remember this, you ride for the brand. They'd brand all their cattle, obviously, so they didn't get those rustlers come in and steal their cattle, and they'd show them the brand and it was theirs, and they'd ride for the brand. He said, now, you behave yourselves because you ride for the brand. You don't mess around with the women. You don't lie, cheat, and steal. You don't go out and carouse and party and do all things. Why? You ride for the brand. There's integrity and honesty with that. And I thought about that statement, and I thought, you know what? That's true. We see too much today of people that live so self-centered and selfishly, and we look out for number one, and so much emphasis today on being true to self or being true to your own heart. But we understand that selfishness is truly the root cause of all of our problems, of our failures in life. Now, let me say this very clearly. If you don't hear anything else, hear this tonight. You cannot be faithful to Jesus Christ and be unfaithful to your spouse. You cannot be faithful to Jesus Christ and be unfaithful to your parents. I'm talking about adult children. You know that. You cannot be faithful to Jesus Christ and be unfaithful to your employer. And you cannot be faithful to Jesus Christ and be unfaithful to your employees or those that are under you. You cannot be faithful to Jesus Christ and be unfaithful to a friend or a family member. That's just, right? You can't. If you're faithful to Jesus Christ, there is no way you will be unfaithful in those areas. Now, we see it all the time, don't we? The question arises, well, what's the problem? And I dare to say that the problem comes back to you and I not being faithful to the Lord and Savior like we're supposed to. The great need for faithful and women today in our world is astounding. We know that. Now, let me say this. Someone once said this, the greatest ability is dependability. I've heard another man say the greatest ability is stickability. You just stick, right? Wherever God put you, you stick. And wherever God planted you, you grow. You don't stand there or sit there and wither, fade away. You grow. You grow where God put you. It does not take a great deal of skill, but it does require character to be faithful. There's no skill really involved. And I'll say this, I have high respect for people like you tonight, every one of you in here, that are faithful. I start to question people that won't be faithful to the things of God. They boast a lot on social media. They talk all the time about how special they are, how spiritual they are. They're always trying to throw in your face how much they read the Bible, how much they know about the Bible, but they can't show up to church. I know we have folks tonight that couldn't be here due to illness and other things, but you know what I'm saying. The faithful people. And I have high respect for people like you that are faithful. You say, Brother Tim, I don't have great talent. I don't do much. I just come and sit and listen. Praise God. That's what you're required to do. And you know that. And you ought to thank God that you have a church that's faithful. You ought to thank God that you have brothers and sisters, like we said in prayer tonight, that are faithful. You ought to thank God for a pastor who's faithful. He's nothing else, but he's faithful. Amen. He ain't much else. Praise God, but he's faithful. And I hope you know that. And we think about here tonight. Now, getting past some of that silly stuff. First of all, notice that God sets the example of faithfulness. Now, we hit on this morning again with Jesus Christ and his supreme example. We are to be faithful. Now, if you have your Bible still open, would you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7? Go back a ways to Deuteronomy 7 and notice what's said here with me. Deuteronomy 7, I'll give you a little time to find it there. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. 7, verse 9. Notice he says, know therefore, he wants you to know something, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. Underline that, which keepeth covenant, promise, mercy, with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repay them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments, and the statutes and the judgments which I have commanded thee this day to do them. Why? Because God is faithful. And if God is faithful, he requires us to be faithful. If God is going to be faithful to you, he's requiring you to be faithful. That's the exact promise in marriage. You stand at an altar, I pray you did, with a pastor or a minister, and that's what you did. You promised, I'm going to be faithful. Do you promise to be faithful? Yes. Do you promise to be faithful? Yes. And boy, it's such a long thing. How many like going to weddings? Don't. The ladies, Brother Ryan too, he loves weddings. And I love weddings too. I love going to weddings and sitting there for 3.5 hours. No, I'm kidding. My wife says, my friend's getting married. Do you want to go to the wedding? And I said, well, and this is the moment when we start to think and trying to weasel out of it as men, you know. I said, what would you think? What if you went with some of the girls? I think they might like you. So you don't want to go, do you? I said, well, I didn't say that. I mean, I love to go to women. But that's what they do. You stand at an altar, you say, I promise to be faithful. Now the God says, will you be faithful? I'm asking you to be faithful. Well, okay, why? Because God is faithful. God is faithful to save. He's faithful to save all who come to him. We already studied that. Letter B on my notes here. God is faithful to deliver us from temptation and evil. God is faithful to preserve us from hell, if we'll trust him. God is faithful to keep us from when we doubt and fear, 2 Timothy 2. God's faithful to keep us when we're persecuted, 1 Peter 4. God's faithful to forgive us when we sin. These are just some of the things in Scripture talking about the faithfulness of God. And we know God will set everything right one day. One thing that ought to drive us in our Christianity to keep going on Monday morning for Christ is the fact of not only that he loves us and has given us his word and promises to keep all of his promises, but is that what? He's coming back and he's going to take care of business. You ever had someone in your life say, oh, no, I'm going to take care of that. Don't you worry. And they never do. It just leaves you with an emptiness inside. And you go, oh, man, I wish they would have. God says, I'm coming back and I'm going to take care of business. I'm going to make everything right. And you keep living your Christian life and facing all the persecutions and trials and difficulties in your life. If there was no end to it, you would say, what's all this for? But you say, there's a Lord God coming, my God, and he's a righteous judge. And he's going to judge and he's going to make everything right. And by the way, I read the Bible and read the back of the book, and I find out I'm on the winning team. I'm on the winning side, and so I know that. I can keep going. I keep on the upward way, new heights I gain every day. So not only the example of faithfulness, we already talked about that a little bit. Let me, number two here, God requires faithfulness. Now, he requires it from his children. Again, you don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, he says, moreover, it is required in stewards. A steward is a manager, basically, what we are, that a man be found faithful. The Christian life can and should be simple. It's simply a matter of being faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that we do not own anything. All belongs to God. This is the basic motivation for faithfulness. Did you hear that? We don't own anything. All belongs to God. And because of that, it's the basic motivation for faithfulness. I'll be faithful to God. Why? I don't own anything. I'll be faithful to God. Why? Because he owns it all. The psalmist says that he owns the gold in every mine, the cattle on a thousand hills, the silver, the gold, everything is his. He gives you every breath and every heartbeat. Now, we can control a lot in our lives, but we don't control a heartbeat, do we? And praise God that all of us at one time were one heartbeat out of hell, weren't we? And God, in his wonderful grace and mercy, saved us. But you think about that. We don't own a thing. Everything belongs to God. Every single thing you have and think of, every cell in your body belongs to God. Everything. And so we're faithful. The life that we now live is his, not ours. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Okay. Nevertheless, I live. That sounds a little bit opposite. Yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live, the life which I now live in the flesh, what? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you see Paul realized something right off the bat at that moment of salvation? He realized something. God loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And people don't know God loves them. Why? Because they don't know the Bible. They don't know the Word of God. And we understand that tonight. That the life we now live on this earth is not ours, but his. And Peter emphasizes this and says, the life, the rest of your days that you used to live for yourself, your life, now live the rest of your days to the will of God and not to the lust of the flesh. Live it for him. Give your life to him. You don't know how many days you've got. You don't know. I don't know. Let's go ahead and live it for him. So the life we live, Paul says, I now live. Paul knew and understand that concept or principle of being a living sacrifice. That sounds a little bit scary, but it's not. A living sacrifice. We sacrifice ourselves to him, yet God says, I don't want you to be a dead sacrifice. I want you to be a living one. And the problem with a living sacrifice is that we always want to crawl off of the altar. If we were dead, we'd just nothing to do. But we're alive. And we wake up Monday and go, Lord, I'm still a sacrifice for you, but you done yet? I don't know. We need recharging, re-energy. You understand? So the life you live is for Him. The bodies we live in are not our own. Paul says, what? Know ye not your bodies, the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. So you're renting this body out, by the way. It's a rental. And if you return that rental messed up, you're in trouble. You'd return it messed up. They charge you for it. Man, those rental cards, what a waste, huh? Your temple of the Holy Ghost. And then he says this, you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6. Now that's what he's emphasizing to the church at Corinth, because they were a culture there that just as a culture we are today, we emphasize the body and we degrade the body and we mistreat the body, and shame on us for doing that and not saving ourselves and not protecting ourselves and being careful about what we do with our body. And he knew that. And that's why he said, you need to understand something. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost, but also that you are bought with a price. Well, yeah, my spirit is. Yeah, I know that. My soul is. No, Paul says, no, your body as well. Christ died on the cross for that. So that what? In this present world, as we saw in the book of Titus chapter 2, this present world, I can live godly, righteously, soberly in this present world. And that's what he's saying. The bodies we live in, the life we have, they're all his. Let me say again, the third is the material possessions. They may have our names on it, but they're not ours. In school, did you ever write your name on stuff? You know, I wrote my name on a pair of shoes one time and went into the locker room at school and I placed them on the thing, and some kid stole them. And I went to the coach. I said, Coach, someone stole my shoes. He said, well, what do you want me to do about it? I said, well, I don't know. It got my name on it. I don't know what to do. And so we went, looked around. Who's got Tim's shoes? Huh? Who did it? And some little weasel, I don't know who, he went and left them on and walked away. And they're over there. I don't know how he misplaced them, you know. But we put our name on stuff, don't we? I like those guys. Have you seen them cruise down the road in those fancy cars? And they got their name on the back, you know, whatever it is. Or a car club or something. $100,000 car. They got this little car club. And we think about that. You heard the old adage, you get all you can all you get, sit on your can so that no one can get it, right? That's what we do, isn't it? Don't touch my stuff. You know, this is all mine. You ever watch that Hoarders show? We watch that. My wife watches that sometimes. And afterwards, you feel like, we got to clean something out, you know? Am I a hoarder? And she goes, yes, you are a hoarder. And some of you that know me, I try not to be. But, you know, you don't want to waste stuff, right? You ever eat like with plastic forks and stuff and you go, should we wash these and keep them? No, you're defeating the purpose of them. And some of you are shaking your heads. You know what I'm talking about. Man, you're cheap. Okay, sorry. But you think about that. It's not ours. We put our name on it. It's not ours. Psalm 24, verse 1 says what? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world. And they that dwell therein. Interesting, isn't it? God owns everybody. Exodus 19:5, all the earth is mine. All the earth is mine. Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, and earth also with all that therein is. Deuteronomy 10. Psalm 50, for every beast of the forest is mine, cattle upon 1,000 hills, the fowls of the mountains, the wild beasts of the field are mine. The world is mine and the fullness thereof. Isn't that interesting? Jesus later would reiterate, what's he say? There's not a bird that falls to the ground that I don't know about. There's not a hair that falls to the ground I don't know about. The intricacy, the omniscience of God. Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. So think about that tonight. What I'm getting at is that we can be faithful. Why? When we're faithful, we understand that God owns everything. I want to know that, and I do know that. We have the privilege of being stewards of His property. All that He requires of us is that we be faithful. He makes the stewardship the basic test, by the way. Luke 16, he says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Right? And God's not going to give you more till you're thankful for what you got. If you're faithful in that, well, Lord, would you give me more? Give me more? Give me more? Yeah, will you be faithful with what you have now? I was challenged with that early on as we started the church with the building thing. And we met in the little church building we rented and stayed there and stayed there and stayed there and just kept going. And I thought, man. And then we got kicked out. had to meet over in that little office space, and that was, it was such a blessing, but it was just annoying, wasn't it? It was so small, the kids had, they had to stay in all the time. And it was just, and I thought, Lord, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And I thought about that, and the Holy Spirit hit me one day and said, you're going to be faithful here? I said, well, yes, Lord, I'm trying to be. I want to be. Then quit whining, you know, quit complaining. You're going to be faithful here? Yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Yes. Okay, we'll give you more. You'll be faithful here with 25? Yes, sir. Okay, okay. We'll give you more. God does something special to the person who waits on Him. And I said this morning, the problem with us is, or with me, let me point the fingers at me, is that I have trouble with His timing. The Bible talks about that, right? His timing. The phrase due time, that's God's timing. In due time, God sent forth His Son. You know, for over 400 years, they waited for that Messiah. Where's He going to be born? Bethlehem. See, they knew all the details. They just waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. Finally, it came. And it says, in due time, God sent forth His Son, born of a virgin. God's timing. We're faithful. Are you faithful where God's put you? Faithful with all that He's given us, our lives, our bodies, our material possessions. God gives us some, let me say lastly, some simple tasks or tests to prove our faithfulness. Now, what are they? I have here some basic things. But just daily Bible reading and study. Very clear. 1 Timothy 4 and 13. He encourages Timothy to read and study. To read it, believe it, study it, meditate, memorize, obey it. Daily time around the Word of God. Oh, I don't do very good at that as I should. I try to. We try to get alone and get around with the kids and read the Bible and pray. I try to pray and read the Bible every single day, at least two or three times a day. I try and I don't do very good at that. And I know you folks are so busy, much more busy than I am. I know that. You have so much going. But I want to encourage you that God does give us some simple tasks or tests to prove us. Will you be faithful in that? Prayer and supplication. 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about that. Pray without ceasing. Keep praying. Talk to God. Express your heart to Him. By the way, people ask, I heard this recently, asked Brother Tim, can I vent to God? Does He mind me doing that? You ever vent to people? I said, yeah, absolutely. Vent to God. Obviously, be very respectful and reverent. You're not, you know, using foul language and putting people down, but you vent to God. God, you know what I'm going through. God, why would they say that? Lord, why do we have to go through that again? Lord, we're just trying to be faithful. Why are we struggling again there and that? Let God know your heart. He already knows it. But talk to Him. Praise Him for who He is. Praise Him for what He is. Praise Him for what He's done. If you're like me, I often ask a lot of stuff. Lord, give me this, give me that, give me this, and give me that. In fact, I got a big old list in my office. Lord, we need this, and Lord, bless this. And then I fail often to just praise Him. Do you ever do that? Just, Lord, thank You. I'm sorry. I love You, and I thank You, and I appreciate all that You do. I appreciate who You are, how You died for me, and Your power. We need to ask Him for things we need. Ask Him for things you want. Petition Him on the behalf of others. Stand as an intercessor on the behalf of your children, your spouse, and others. I'm standing here. I'm praying. I'm praying. And we seek that. I'm just talking about some simple things. Do you pray as you should? Do you read and study the Word of God? I thought about public worship. Hebrews 10:25 says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But as you see the day approaching, assemble more. I said today, now's not the time to read less of the Bible. Now's not the time to read or to pray less. Now's not the time to be less faithful. We need people here in the church. I don't know how to put it bluntly or not bluntly, but I'll put it bluntly. But we need people at church. And I jokingly a couple weeks ago, I said, if we get everyone here at the same time, we'd have a good crowd. We just can't do it. It's hit and miss. But you folks have been so faithful, by the way. Thank you. Thank you. We need people in church. And I wish they would prioritize church. I really do. I really do. Encourage and pray for them. Prioritize the house of God. You that are here and faithful in the house of God, you know that. You know there's a special blessing on your life for being in church. It's not easy. And I'll just be frank with you tonight because we're just who we are tonight. We're faithful family members. We don't want to be in church. I mean, okay, it's hard to be in church, isn't it? It's hard. And you folks are shaking your head because you know that. It's hard to be in church. It's hard to get up off that couch. I was telling Brother Umpleby about that. He said, did you get a nap in? I said, well, of course, I couldn't take a nap until it was time to get up and get ready for church. You know, I'm all of a sudden tired now. It's hard to get up off that chair, ain't it? And you folks got a whole busy day, a whole busy week. You got to be up early. But I'm just saying that we prioritize the things of God and we show Him, God, I was faithful yesterday, Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday night for prayer, Sunday night, Sunday evening service. I was faithful, God. Will you bless me this week? Yeah, you will. You didn't come to church on Sunday? It's a little hard, isn't it? Lord, would you bless us this week? And you know, I got that big thing coming up at work. And sorry I wasn't in church, by the way. I'm just saying tonight, we need people faithful, cheerful giving. We need folks to give. We know that. Going through all of that, focusing your efforts on the things of God, prioritizing God in every area of your life. I'm not saying this to benefit Faithway Baptist Church, Brother Tim, or anybody. I'm saying this for your sake. Thinking about, lastly, let me move on. Let's wrap it up here. Telling others about what Christ has done for you. A compassionate witness for Christ. Are you faithful? Why not be faithful tonight? Are you faithful to the things of God? Paul tells Timothy, be faithful. Stay faithful. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. As Timothy, Paul said, he's a man that's faithful. And by the way, God cannot use somebody who's not faithful. And again, I'm not saying what God can and can't do. I'm saying that's on our part. God cannot use somebody who's not faithful. Because he goes to reach for the tool, and it's not there. You know? Man, I know who'd be... Brother Tim over there in Edgewood in the backside of nowhere. I know he would be good for that. Oh, where's he at? Anybody seen him? He stayed home tonight. Right? I'm just saying, you and I must avail ourselves to God. And say, God, I'm available. When you spend time in the Word of God, you're saying, God, I'm available. Speak to me. Show me what to do next. When you spend time in prayer, you're saying, God, I'm available for you. I'm availing myself to you. What do you want me to do? Speak to me. Show me. When you spend time in public worship together with your church family, you're faithful to the house of God. You're saying, God, I'm availing myself to you. When you give faithfully, when you're a compassionate witness for Christ, you're saying, God, I'm availing myself for you. I want you to use me. And God says, thank God for that. Some of you have employees that work under you. You may know what that's like. They may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer. They may not be the best at what they do, but they show up. And you go, man, thank you. I appreciate them just showing up. Others that don't, right? You think about tonight, faithful people. There were people throughout Scripture that were unfaithful. There was men like Solomon. I read through the Psalms and got into Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon. And I read about a man who was once so faithful to God. You remember what he prayed as a young teenage boy? Oh God, give me discernment. Give me understanding. Give me wisdom that I can judge this so great a people. I know not how to go out and how to come in. I don't know what to do, God. And it says just a few chapters later, what? But Solomon loved many strange women and they stole his heart. They took his heart. Unfaithful. Started out real well, ended poorly. A man by the name of Demas, as we talked about last week, started out very well. He says in Colossians, Demas is with me. And I said, Demas, praise God. Oh, good to hear Demas. He's still serving faithfully. And then they got an abrupt letter in 2 Timothy. Demas has forsaken me, having what? Loved this present world. And the tears, as Paul said this morning, there are some that are the enemies, not the end sample, but the enemies. And he says, I tell you this weeping. I tell you this weeping. My friends, we need more faithful people. And David said in Psalm 12, God help us, Lord empower, Lord be with us, Lord be with our finances, be with our merit. No, he doesn't say any of that. What's he say? Help, Lord, why? There's no more faithful people. Do you remember what David said? Oh, how the mighty are fallen. How the mighty are fallen. His best friend, Jonathan, killed in battle. His mentor that he looked to, Saul, killed in battle. Other men that he loved, killed in battle. Oh, how the mighty are fallen. But he comes later to Psalm 12 and says, how, Lord, help us. There's no more faithful people. And I believe tonight that although we're few in number, we can have an impact. And do you know something? That we are one of, I think, three churches, only three, that have Sunday night service. And I'm not saying that's anything special, but I'm just saying faithful. Faithful. We don't need less church. We need more church. We don't need less. We need more. We need more. And we understand that. We'll be faithful. I had pastors ask me recently, how's everything going? I said, good. I said, we got some really good faithful people. He said, one senior pastor I was talking to said, that's what you need. That'll build a church right there. He said, you got to start out. You'll get some people come and they'll go and come people try your church out for a while and they'll flake out. They won't come back. You're not the type of church they're looking for. He said, but you got a faithful core group of people. I said, yeah, we got that. He said, that's what's going to do it. It's that foundation you get. And from that, then you can build upon it. And we ought to be faithful. I know you are. And I know tonight I'm preaching to the faithful people. We really are. Are you faithful? Are you willing to be faithful for Him? Faithful or fickle? Oh, I love that. Psalm 12. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. I pray that'd be a prayer for you this week. You'd pray that. Lord, help. Help me. I pray every day. Lord, help me. Be with me. Help my wife. Be with her. Help my children. Be with them, God. How about I pray this week? Lord, help. There's no more faithful. Where are the faithful? We need faithful people. The faithful have failed. The godly man ceaseth. Would you pray that this week with me? All right, I'll stop there for tonight. Again, Lord, we thank you for this evening and this wonderful time to gather around your word. We think about, Lord, tonight our world is in a mess. But God, we have a group of people here this evening that are faithful. And I'm so grateful for that. Lord, we would not have a church without people. And I thank you for them. It's not easy to get to church. It's not easy to study the Word of God. It's not easy to spend time and set aside time to pray daily, to be in your Word. It's not easy. It's intimidating. It's fearful to be a faithful witness to people, to invite them to church, to give them a gospel tract, to share the gospel if we get that far with them. It's not easy. And I thank you, Lord, for your great grace in our lives. I pray that you would stir our hearts, stir our church, Lord. I'm so thankful for what you've done. But God, we collectively tonight, I can speak on behalf of our people. We pray the same thing as David did in Psalm 12. Help us, Lord. Help. The godly man ceaseth. The faithful fail from among the children of men. We need more people to be faithful to you. Strengthen us this week. Be with each one as we go our separate way, Lord. Watch over us. Many will be traveling back and forth on the highways. Watch over us. Guide us. Be with us. And we love and thank you for a day in your house. In Jesus' precious name. And amen.